You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Welcome back to The Wire. In the tumult of last year's election campaign, it seemed that there were a myriad of issues that got limited to little or no coverage time. Among those issues was mental health care. I spoke to Dr. Ian Suse, the author of an article titled Some Mental Health Advice for Minister Ducey. Minister Matt Ducey is the first Minister for Mental Health that we have had as a country. I began by asking Dr. Suse about his first priority, universal health coverage.
Firstly, I just want to say it is really exciting to have our first Minister of Mental Health. That means, you know, we have a government now that can focus and prioritize mental health. And what I would recommend is he thinks about the principle of universal coverage. That just means, as New Zealanders, we have a clear understanding of what help is out there and a realistic understanding of what help we can get. And that should exist everywhere. One of the challenges we have in our system is because we've had DHBs and districts, it can be hard to work out what is available consistency. And one of the things that many of your listeners may know about is, for example, ADHD. Now, we have great services and lots of people working to help people with ADHD, but as it stands at the moment, you get different help in different districts. So step one, universal health coverage would mean the sort of same baseline help for everyone everywhere.
Moving on to the next kind of priority that you highlighted there was parity of esteem. Can you elaborate a bit on how our current health system fails in this regard, and what needs to happen in your opinion to ensure that mental health care is treated with the same esteem as other sections of our healthcare?
Yeah, well, look, again, that's really important. Historically, there's been a bit of stigma and shame behind mental health, and we've kind of tended to hide how mental health is seen and treated. But in the 21st century, you know, the thing that all of us do, your job now today, my job here as a doctor and as an academic, it's all based on the way we feel and the way we think. So our mental health is our kind of crucial social skill. So the idea of a parity of esteem is that we should be thinking about mental health services in the same way we think about physical health services. And one of the things the government can do is to quite deliberately think about areas in which it's treated differently. For example, ACC is a really good case where often mental health coverage is excluded. So the example I gave in the article was, you know, if I were to have a car crash, if I break my leg, I can go along and I get a lot of really good support from the people at ACC to get back to work and to be rehabilitated. But as our legislation stands at the moment, if I were to have PTSD or depression or some other mental health consequence of that very same accident, that would be excluded. And again, I get back to that situation where in some parts of the country, I may have great support for PTSD, but in other parts of the country, that support may be more limited by a number of things, the availability of staff, the coverage of services. So by trying to be much more deliberate and saying, well, actually, for mental health, if we compare to physical health, if those sort of services are available for physical health, then we should expect them to be available for mental health.
And the last area you highlighted was reaching unreached populations. I wanted to ask, kind of in that realm, which groups in our country are getting the least access to mental health care, and how do we remedy that?
Well, look, it's about, you know, giving everybody a fair go, which is a really kind of Kiwi thing. And there's two kind of aspects to that. The first aspect is need. So there are some populations that have higher need and therefore are still being unreached even if we kind of give everybody equal access. And, you know, I think we've had some really good discussions about Māori and Pacific, and we can clearly do more in reaching those populations. But I think, you know, one of the groups for mental health that we need to focus even more on is young people. Youth populations have a higher prevalence, so they have a higher rate of mental disorders and mental ill health. They also do not tend to use the sort of health services we have at the moment. You know, I'm sort of getting on a bit, but if I rock up to my GP practice, you know, I'm one of the youngest people there. Whereas if we want to design services for people in their 20s and their 30s or even in their teens, we probably need to think about different ways of accessing that population, making it easy for people to get help. And also we need to think about what are the strengths within that population, within those populations, the strengths they have, which would make it easier for them to get help. So, you know, the obvious one is, you know, younger populations are more tech savvy, may utilize social media or other, or maybe less intimidated by things like AI. So we should be thinking about designing health services, and particularly mental health services, quite deliberately to reach those groups.
Mm. And I just want to wrap up here with an aspirational question. In your opinion, what does a thriving and functioning mental health care system look like in Aotearoa?
Look, I think a thriving and functioning system is one which has a range of diverse services so that we can find the things that meet our needs depending on the conditions we have and also our particular backgrounds. But that also, as New Zealanders, we're pretty clear in terms of what we can expect help with and what we get. So, you know, that's really what's going to empower us, that we know that these are the sort of things we can get help with. That helps us as an individual, as individuals, but it also helps us as a society, because then we can continue to build and plug the gaps. The last most important thing I think a thriving mental health service will be one where it's just mainstream, that mental health is part of us, part of our health system, and we no longer think about mental health separately, you know, in the way that currently we have, you know, orthopedic surgeons for our broken bones, we have people with obstetric specialists who help with when we are sort of supporting babies being born and things like that. That mental health just becomes part of mainstream health provision, and we don't have to keep on kind of fighting the corner for it being left behind. So that's really what I'd like to see in the future.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.